Hello, welcome to another episode of the RSL Show. We're doing this episode live from a sauna today. It's really hot in here. To my right, I've got junior producer Isaac Munoz.
Hello, how is everybody doing?
Okay, and then we've got Josh Clark. What's up, Josh? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Yep, he's doing great. And then we've got the great Alex Napolis.
Yes, sir.
What's up, dude? How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. How are you guys?
This is going to sound weird, but how's your sister doing? Only because you've been posting about her soccer she's gone.
She leaves in a week.
Okay, cool.
She leaves in a week to Kansas, and I'm very sad, actually.
Very sad
about it. Yeah, I'm happy for her. Obviously, you know, she's going to go play college soccer and whatnot, but, like, and it's a great opportunity for her, but, like, me and my sister just have a really close, really good relationship, and so, like, losing that, it's going to suck, but... And then plus we went to like every game together. So
what position does your sister play?
She can play striker as well as the 10. And she's honestly, she can do a pretty good center back as well. She's
nice.
Kind of all over the field.
Very cool. Is she good?
Personally, I think she's good.
She want to play striker for RSL?
I don't just say that because she's my sister, obviously. But like I do think that she's a very talented person.
Very
and
cool.
And she's upset that we scheduled the pickup game right after, like, 3 days after she leaves.
She wouldn't want to play in it and accidentally get hurt anyway.
Yeah.
So that's why
we did that. She said that you guys didn't want the smoke. She specifically said that and wanted me to tell you guys that.
The smoke. Got it.
Honestly, like, they've been so packed anyway that, like, me and Andy don't even play, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, except for, like, when Andy needs to nutmeg Dunny for some footage. That's about the only time it goes down.
Yeah. So if you guys are unaware, we have a pickup match, a pickup game. We've done a few in the last few years. We just get busy with the season and all that, so we don't really do it during the season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's fair. And then, you know, once youth soccer starts, field availability is much tougher.
Yeah.
Which is why we're playing at America First Field. Shout out Dan for the hookup on that again.
Yep, America First Field, Real Salt Lake's training ground. Somebody asked if we were going to provide paid parking. Dude, just park somewhere. I know. Just park somewhere.
Where charges to park over there?
I don't know.
Are we charging to park?
I don't know. Maybe we should.
I'm going to know.
Yeah.
Should we charge an entry fee for charity? $5 a head?
No.
For the TIFO fund.
Dude, it is so hot in here. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's keep talking.
I can't breathe. Okay.
That's an idea to consider later, though, if we ever need to fundraise for anything.
Okay.
$5 a head for a pickup game or something?
Sure. Yeah.
Make it cooler, obviously, but...
Yeah, yeah, so this pickup game and all of the pickup games in the past have been free. All skill levels, all people are welcome. But yeah, we'll put it together. We're going to have balls there, obviously. We're going to have pennies and cones and little baby goals set up. You've never gone before, Alex?
I have not gone to any of the pickup games. Wow. So I'm very much looking forward to this one.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Do you play soccer?
I used to.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Obviously not as good as your sister.
Definitely not.
Burn!
Definitely not.
All right, very cool. Well, let's hop into it. Let's talk about Real Salt Lake. Sporting Kansas City came to town. And what did you guys all think? What did you guys make of the performance against SKC?
It's what it needed to be. I wish it was like 3 more goals, right? But... You know, we got our nice little ass whooping in. They got their red card that was expected, and it's nice to send them home losing. You know what I mean?
Your eyes are closing, bro.
It's hot.
It is so hot in here. Is it better if we do it outside?
No.
It is so bad.
It's like beating out
just
there.
Keep talking. You're all right.
Are you feeling good?
I'm feeling good.
This
dude.
Is testing your producer metal, bro.
Bro, this is insane.
Don't you wish we still had the mini fridge up here so you could just open it?
This was like worse than shooting in Texas in 104 degree humid weather. Well, this is worse.
Let's stop complaining and keep.
All right. Let's
keep.
Oh my gosh, bro! I can't even like take a deep breath.
Man, boobs sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
So yours must be.
Oh, underneath, dude.
Yeah. All right.
It's rough.
And we all have man boobs.
Yeah.
And we'll edit this part out.
No, just leave it.
Leave it. Yeah.
Okay.
Who cares?
All right. So let's go around the table. I wasn't there for the match. Who was there in person? You were there as a fan.
I was there. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. I was watching on my couch because it was hot outside, and I did not want to deal with it. I'll be the first to admit it. I saw the storm, had to work early the next day, so I was like, oh, if there's a lightning delay, I'm going to leave anyway.
Yeah.
And it's hot, so I'm just going to risk it from home. I know, it's because I didn't go. If I would have gone,
there would have been one.
Lightning delays.
A 30-minute delay reset every 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah. So I just figured, you know, I can see just as much on my couch, so I watched it at home like a real fan.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good result against a rival, which is so, I don't. People are so hell-bent on SKC being rival number one, and I get it because of the history, but lately, that doesn't feel like a rivalry.
The playoffs a couple years ago made it feel like a rivalry, but lately, it's just been, they're just bad, man. That was a team that if we would have lost to them, sirens would be going off in my brain because SKC is bad.
Yeah.
Honestly, my biggest takeaway, and the thing I was kind of really annoyed with, was Sergio Cordova.
Yeah.
I thought his little celebration was a little ridiculous.
Mm.
Dude, he was basically telling all the fans to shut up because he finally scored a goal.
I don't think
that's how I took it.
I mean, I think that's how you take it, but I don't think.
So what's he doing? Pulling up his hand to his ear, shushing everyone, and then holding up his shirt with his name on the back and like pointing. What do you take? That's not a normal celebration.
Look, I'm going to ask you guys something, and I might get a lot of crap for this, but I'm going to ask you guys to stick on the Cordova train.
No, I'm not off the Cordova train, but I was just like, bruh.
Yes.
Like, I know you're pumped you scored and finally like got that thing off your back, right? But like,
I don't agree. I don't agree with the shirt taken off. I think
I thought it was a weird celebration,
cards,
right?
Yellow cards aren't worth it. But I think we might be seeing a new dynamic between Jefferson Savarino and Sergio Cordova.
I hope so.
Because Cordova playing alone up top gave Savarino playing the 10 so much room and so much space to operate that Kansas had no answers for Sava the entire match. The only thing that was missing from that first half was the goal. Unfortunately, we couldn't finish, but it was just opportunity after opportunity, and it was all created by Sava, who was playing in the middle, playing that 10 free-roaming playmaker role that he absolutely thrived on, and Sporting Kansas had no answers for it. And I think we might be seeing, if Pablo decides to stick to it, I think he should. It was very effective against SKC. I think if he sticks to it against FC Dallas, it might be more of a bigger test considering the form that FC Dallas is in compared to the form that Kansas is in. But the dynamic between Cordova and Savarino, with Cordova just being the lone striker and him being the free-roaming 10, I think it can be huge, huge for us going forward.
It's funny, like, Cordova scores that header, right? And then, 10 minutes later, he gets another wide-open header that's way easier and misses it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I don't know. I'm not.
Stick.
I don't
stay
dislike
on the train.
Cordova, but that celebration just felt like.
No, I think you're reading too much into it, man.
Maybe. But also,
all I saw, at least from the TV angle, I just saw that he had taken his shirt off.
No,
I don't know about holding it up.
There was other stuff.
So you think he's running towards the family section and he's like holding the jersey up?
He doesn't
up?
Know what section is which.
Yeah, of course he does.
No.
Of course he knows where the sections are. Everybody knows where the sections are. The players know which side to run to get a good camera angle
tweeted
on him.
Cordova's telling us to all delete our tweets now. Is that you?
I did.
So you took it the same way.
That was just like more so for the fan base, though.
Okay.
It was more for the fan base.
I'm throwing it out there for the fan base, too. I hope Cordova ends up scoring 10 goals this year.
Yeah. I don't
think. But I don't think he will.
I don't think that's. Well, I don't think there was like malintent there.
We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
He has to know people are getting annoyed with him, right?
Yeah, he's been vocal about it on Twitter before. Like, I'm surprised he goes on Twitter and looks, but he's retweeted and responded to like media or critics before.
Yeah, he definitely pays attention, for sure.
Yeah. So is that it? You just have a gripe with Cordova?
No. I don't have a gripe. I just thought that was weird.
Okay.
And then, of course, Espinoza getting red carded. It was just my favorite part of the match.
Yeah.
I think the best part about that situation was the ref just, like, waiting
for him to get up.
Standing there with the red card in his hand, like, just watching him, like, pretend to be injured. And just patiently, like, waiting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he, like, loses his mind when he stands
up. And then,
he
gets up.
He
gets up.
He's fine.
And then he starts, like, freaking out and, like, yelling at the ref. But it's an obvious, even if it wasn't a red card.
It was a second yellow.
It was a second yellow. Yeah. Regardless, he's off. I don't know what he was complaining about.
Yeah. Roger Espinoza, I think that's like the last standing piece of this rivalry.
Yeah,
as soon as he's
Zusi's
gone.
Not much in it either. Like, yeah. And then maybe a little bit of Peter Vermes, but Yeah. Once that all goes away, it's just going to be fans bickering, right? Like,
so were you guys?
I feel like that's dying off a little bit.
Were you guys surprised? I mean, without, you know, excluding like the whole 10-man thing, were you guys surprised that Real Salt Lake pulled a 3-0 win or at least a win against Sporting Kansas City?
No, they had to. I mean, Sporting Kansas City's in last place. Like, that was an absolute must win. Again, had we lost that game, like, you know, the bus might be firing up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
I think it's a huge result for the confidence of this of Real Salt Lake. You're heading into a game versus DC, who is just mere points off of us. You're heading into an away game at San Jose, which hopefully with the form that San Jose is, we can get a result. And then you got the big one at home against LAFC. Right now, RSL needs to start building that confidence because that game against LAFC at home is going to be huge.
And I hate to say this like way too early, but I feel like those are the games that RSL are up for, right? They're up for the games they're not supposed to win, and it's the games we're supposed to win we're not up for, which is extremely annoying.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see Gareth Bale.
That'll be good.
In Salt Lake City.
If they bring him.
I feel like they wouldn't.
I just feel like big teams like that sometimes will exclude their stars. I mean,
well, if they want to be afraid of the riot, so be it.
Yeah.
Chicharito's not afraid.
Yeah, but Chicharito was also injured, like, a season leading up to him actually coming here.
What does that have to do with it? I said he wasn't afraid.
I don't even know.
He played here, and he didn't score. It's fine. He should be afraid.
Whatever, dude.
I'm just catching you all this whole time, this whole show, just catching Andy.
I can't think,
he said,
bro.
He said he didn't score, but he did score against us. One. He kicked the barrier.
Wasn't he offside?
He didn't score. No.
He didn't score?
No, he scored last year. That was last year.
Last year.
That was last season. Yeah. He didn't score this year.
Match, he didn't score.
Yeah, okay. He didn't score this year.
Isaac's like, 2021, yeah.
I said flip
he scored. All right.
Oh, yikes. Anyway, okay. Yeah, it was a good win.
It's a confidence-building win. It's a confidence-building win, and I 100% think RSL needed it, especially considering the competition.
It is so hot in here, dude. I cannot think.
You know what else RSL needs?
What does RSL need?
Central midfielder.
Absolutely.
Dude, I can't, bro.
We're almost there. How far into this are we?
15 minutes.
Let's get to 25, and then we'll call it.
All right, we're back from a brief pause. I'm laughing because Alex says he's not hot, dude, but he's, look at him.
I feel good, dude. Like, I'm fine. Like, I don't really feel as...
This is so weird.
Hot.
Yeah. You know what, though? You know what I realized, though?
Mm-hmm.
When we were younger and we had hot summers like this, we never cared.
I don't remember it, yeah. Now yeah. I feel like our parents are like, oh, like, it's getting unbearable here. You know what I mean?
It is.
Yeah. It's the same as, like, winter. It's not that cold. I'm in shorts, and now I'm like, oh, my bones.
We're going to move to Phoenix, dude.
No.
In, like, 3 months.
That's worse.
Yeah. Well, that's where they move, though. That's where, like...
No, I'll go to Sandy. I'll go to San Diego with you, bro.
Dude, this is... Oh, this is miserable,
that's
bro.
Sneaky, dude.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Who else scored? I literally cannot think straight.
Pablo Ruiz, yeah. Finally
Wait.
Pulling up from
oh,
the top
that's right. Yep, he took
he
a little touch.
Frame,
and then
bottom corner, side netting. Beautiful shot. Yeah. Left-footed shot, kind of expected.
Who played the ball to him?
Jefferson.
No.
That was Jefferson's assist.
Or was it Chang?
I thought that was Miram to Chang to...
I don't even know. It was Jefferson.
Miram to Chang, back to Glad, back up.
Back to Glad.
Yeah. Isaac goes nine touches back. All right.
Dude, we're almost there. You're fine. Just stop.
Bro.
Stop pausing.
All right.
Yay, yay.
All right, so Pablo Ruiz scores a goal. Who scored the other?
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Scored the third. Off a little header. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. One of the shortest guys on the field. Got up, rose up like a salmon. Got his head to it.
Wasn't his fourth off a header, too? The one that didn't count, the offside?
Yes. Yep. The one that was offside, it was also a header.
Yeah, so just...
Boom, boom.
Poor marking.
Oh, dude, Kansas City, man. They need to find some center backs, bro.
I think that's their fifth consecutive, like, goal that they've conceded in the air.
Yeah,
too.
Like, fifth game straight. Yeah. Did you guys watch that SKC fan TV thing?
Yeah, yes. I did. That's the only reason
I
know
that stat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I'm going to give that guy props. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so 3-0 results, another sellout, consecutive sellout, the 10th?
That was sold. Well, I guess sold. Yeah. That was one of those where the people that like have that argument of attendance versus tickets sold could really have an argument.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, like, the official attendance number was still 20,000 something. 20,100 something, but it did
I think they counted sold.
It did not look that
way. No, there was, like, maybe seven.
Look, someone's got to come clean over there, and Trey and Tyler have both text messaged me, and they've offered to go over the numbers and offer explanations. And I will be asking them the next time I see them in person because, yeah, you know, there's plenty of teams or organizations out there that will throw those stats out and will say, you know, an example, 30,000 tickets sold, 8,000 tickets unused, something like that. But I think the difference here, and it's not even a frustration, it's more so of a criticism. It's almost like don't throw out a figure of, oh, we sold 20-something thousand tickets when clearly like 50 or 40% is missing from the actual stadium.
Yeah, it's weird to see like tweets celebrating it and then like seeing highlights and being like...
Yeah, because it's not only the fan base, but it's also opposing fan bases. It's a little ridiculous. It's a little humorous almost. I don't really care. But
there are people out there that are like, oh, the snobby ones that really... get into it
So I think the club or its representatives will give them a chance to offer an explanation to how they view it, how they calculate it, what they count, like how they count it as a, you know, a sellout or whatever. But you know, sellout in my mind has always meant, hey, this place is sold out and it's packed,
right? Like if you walked up to the ticket window, they'd turn you away.
Yeah, yeah, or I mean, or just literally look around and there's, you know,
not
butts in seats.
Standing room only.
Now, the whole argument, too, is, oh, well, people go stand in the concessions. Whatever. That is such crap. Like, you know how they, I've seen it before. Oh, well, they're not in their seats because they're standing up at the north goal, on the very top of the,
that only works if there's like a smattering of empty seats, right?
Yeah, or like a rain delay. I don't know. I just... It's very weird, so I'm very curious to see how they'll respond or what
I also think people read into it way too much.
Yeah, so. A little bit too much. I mean, who cares if they're but I see it from the fan base's side too.
Yeah, no, you're gonna call it a sellout. I see both ways, but at the same time, I'm like, it's whatever. It's tickets sold. Carry on.
Yeah. Anyways. So we'll tackle that subject when we see those guys at training next, which I think we're going to head over on Friday. I'll be there with Tom Hackett. Okay, cool. Let's talk about another elephant in the room, David Ochoa. Plenty of stuff in the media as far as you know, people upset, people thinking that he's not getting a fair shake or even like fair representation, or even somebody saying that. We marketed him as the bad guy, and there was racism towards him, and the club did nothing about it. That's a stretch. Yeah, it's a little bit.
Putnam was definitely punished.
And gone.
Right.
Is he playing anywhere else right now?
No, well, he's technically still under contract. The league wouldn't let us, quote-unquote, release him.
Sure.
But he's gone.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, that seems like it's been handled.
Were they saying that it took someone coming out and saying something to get it handled? I don't know. Because I know it was under investigation way before that. So,
yeah.
Again, reading into things.
A little too much.
Yeah.
There's, you know, we know a little bit, but we're kind of waiting to see how the club handles it and how David Ochoa handles it. And right. I think it's, you know, I really don't want to take a side on either.
No.
Because I think losing David Ochoa, we've lost. Okay.
We've lost him.
You think so?
I really don't see any way back from this. Do you really? Like, I don't.
I mean, in most scenarios, when a player goes onto social media and calls out the club like that, the relationship is severed.
Yeah.
In most cases, you just don't see that getting fixed.
That's a good point. It could be a good point, but I don't know. I'd like to think that egos can prevail and they can figure it out.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of stubbornness on both sides, maybe. A lot of unwillingness to negotiate from like the vibes I'm gathering, right? Like, we don't know a lot about this whole situation. We know a little, like Andy said, a little, but yeah, I feel like it's just a Yeah. We're not willing to do this. You're not willing to do that. And it's just, it's getting ugly and spiraling out of control. And it's quite frankly, quite annoying. Like,
yeah,
it needs to be settled. If he's not going to budge, move him, right? Who cares if you don't get a fee? Move him so we can play. Like, let's just carry on, get rid of the drama, and be done with it.
Sure.
It does suck, though.
Yeah. I think the only media that has asked Pablo regarding Ochoa has probably only been on ESPN. And that has been, I mean, obviously they have a contract to go on the radio every single week. I'd be interested to see how they would handle that question in a different setting. So maybe we'll ask that question too when we're out at training.
Or just, you know, off the record. I would love to hear about it off the record. And also, like, you reached out to Ochoa for an interview after the social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It appears his agent told him to no, like, don't do anything. So that also makes you wonder, like, what's really going on, right? Like,
yeah,
your agent isn't wanting you to talk.
But you know what? A piece of me, dude, because I'll come out and say it, like, you know, I've never wanted on any account to be some credible journalist or...
No, but it'd be great to hear from him.
Yeah, or present myself in that way. But what I'm getting to is, even when he alluded to wanting to be interviewed and saying, like, yeah, let's do it, my concern was still, like, I don't want to put anything out there that's going to be detrimental to Ochoa's career.
Right, because because we don't know where that line is to where he could be in trouble, right? Or more trouble.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's weird because we report on RSL. We do all this media stuff for Real Salt Lake. We are, like, for the lack of a better term, like, we are big. We're under KSL Sports or whatever. And so a lot of the stuff that we put out does carry some weight. But the last thing that I want to do is back somebody into a corner, whether it's staff or whether it's a player.
And honestly, like, anything he comes out and says or we say about him could affect his next contract too, his next transfer. So it's just better to not. As much as I want him to come on and just vent and...
Yeah.
But it's not a good idea.
Yeah. So. For anybody. Might be good for us, but...
It might be, but I also, like, I don't want the club pissed at us either.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care because I don't think they'd be that mad at us, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think they would probably get to, you know, they'd probably get to a better answer or true feelings if we were to talk to David Ochoa.
Do we need to be the mediator?
I don't know. Hopefully. Guys, make it happen. Real Salt Lake, hit us up. Dude, that'd be so good.
Yeah.
Let's just go in
there. We just have, like, Elliot on one side, Ochoa on the other.
We'll shave the top of your head so it's like Dr. Phil.
I'll wear the suit, leave the mustache.
I'll be the I'll be the catch me outside girl, dude. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how all of that pans out. Obviously, we've seen a lot of moves from the club as far as, like, you know, transfers. Chris Kablan, like we were talking about before we had just, started recording.
That was short-lived, wasn't it?
Yep. Everton Luiz is back, you know, with that same club. Or not back, but he's been transferred to that club. And then the other one.
Menendez,
yep. So
that's three international spots.
Yeah, but, you know, it kind of... It's happening at a rate that's a little bit faster than I would like to see, only because it's like, what are you instilling into, like, the player mentality? If you're not getting up to speed quickly or if you're not contributing, like, your ass might be off to
Brethren. I think a lot with the Kablan was roster compliance / international spaces, right? Like, because we were over on roster compliance by a lot.
Yeah.
So I think in order to make room for incoming transfers, like, that was an easy, no more loan, right? Send him on back. It's in the same ownership umbrella, so it's not really, like, a huge deal. It would be like taking a Monarch on loan and then sending him right back after a few games.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really concern me. It does suck that he didn't really seem to pick up and get a shake, right? Like, I would have loved to see him play.
The one game he was supposed to start against San Jose,
he got hurt. Right.
And so we never got the real opportunity to see what he could do.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's too bad, but, you know, I really hope, I'm praying that all these outgoing moves mean something incoming.
No, it does.
Is coming.
It totally does, because Tom Hackett wrote an article, actually today.
Yeah, about the 4 hours contenders, ago. Right?
Yep, so contenders, but it looks like there is a quote in there from Pablo that they're actively seeking and looking for players to kind of fulfill those roles.
Yeah, I think
if not the direct role, but actually, you know, people who can come and help and contribute like Severino.
Right, I think they're looking for, you know, a striker and someone, hopefully Gustavo Cuellar, hopefully.
Yep. So
again, that, it's been so quiet on that front that it's almost concerning being, what are we, halfway through the transfer window?
Yeah.
So... Mm-hmm. You know, the longer we go, the more nervous I get.
Yeah, and it's been incredible to see what Real Salt Lake has been able to pull off and put together. I mean, I know it hasn't been the best stretch of games as far as, like, wins and losses are concerned, because we were kind of, you know, we took a dip, and obviously we get the win at home. But I had seen somebody, you know, throw that comment out there just kind of saying, like, hey, I'm sick of – you know, getting players off of, like, the bargain rack, and, like, why can't we go get, like, a big name like Gareth Bale or something like that? But you got to think, it's like clubs who are even, you know, clubs who are doing that, sure, they see some success, but with what Real Salt Lake has been able to do with, like, this quote-unquote bargain rack is actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, go find me another Saba. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
there's plenty of really, really good players that aren't household names.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about that last episode.
Yeah. And had that goal not been called back, you know, two goals for Severino in one match would have been nice.
Right. He's going to be the golden boot by the end of the season.
I don't know, man. Cucho is probably going to.
No, for RS. Just for RS.
Oh, for RS.
Yeah, no. Gotcha. No one else is going to be the league-wide golden boot.
No.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, plenty of exciting things, but plenty of, you know, drama. Like
And unknown. Yeah,
a little bit of drama and unknown. I'm happy that we got the win. I think FC Dallas coming here, I think that's going to be, that should be another easy 3 points for Real Salt Lake. I'm just trying to think of anything that we may have heard media wise. Unless you guys have heard of anything at the club that's either, you know, rumors, players.
I feel like they're doing a really good job at keeping things quiet now where they used to not do such a great job.
I mean, the way I see it, like, just looking at everything that's kind of been going on around the league is, like, a lot of leagues are moving players like that, offloading players, sending players off to other teams within the league, other teams in the world, because they're gearing up for something big. And I think a big example of that is DC United and Wayne Rooney with offloading a guy like Julian Gressel, who was a big contributor to DC. They're moving him to Vancouver. They're gearing up for big signings that Wayne Rooney wants. And so the way I see it is just with Everton, with Yanni, with Johnny, and with Kablan moving, I just see them as getting the roster ready for something, for a signing, for something big, hopefully.
Yeah, I kind of have that same feeling, too.
I can see another one or two players moving on as well.
Yeah, we've seen it around the league, Players, like players getting moved to... just getting the roster ready for that. And right. So, I definitely don't think RSL's done in this window.
Yeah. Great assessment from our intern, Alex Napolis. That's called a toss, dude. In news. After you done...
Oh, yes.
After you're done talking, say back to you. Say it real quick.
Back to you, Andy.
Thanks. Yep, thank you. Can you imagine Alex just standing on a corner somewhere reporting?
I'd have like bad luck and like get like ran over.
Yeah, maybe
go viral.
We've essentially we've been doing that with the, you guys like the stuff that we put out that I put out with Tom?
Yeah.
It's good stuff, right?
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. All right. So RSL show questions. Let's go to tweets because I'm dead.
Yeah, we need to hurry this one up now.
We need to take off. I mean, I'm not kidding. Does your phone tell you like what the temperature is in here or anything?
No, it just says outside, I think.
Oh, no, but it's hot.
Yeah, it's really hot. All right, so Hangry Hippo asks, with Kablan, Everton, and Menendez gone, will RSL bring in a player that makes a difference? We feel that way. Do you guys feel like that
is, I think it's
on the
happen.
Horizon?
Yep.
If Cuellar comes in, this is from Matthew Daniels. If Cuellar comes in, who do you take out? Hypothetical, we have a chance to sign a DP9 who will score goals, but we have to sell one of the following. Who do you choose? So I guess that's a two-part question. So first one, yeah, if Cuellar comes in, who do you take out?
Well, the easy answer, which is not so easy now, is Loftus-Cheek, right? And Loftus-Cheek's just your come in and be the wheels guy.
Yeah, he's been a tank.
Right, but, like, he would be even better off the bench, I think.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Right? So he's still a rookie, so you're not going to completely devastate him by not starting him every game. So that's the easy answer.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
I think I agree. Having Ruiz and Cuellar, Cuellar would be a amazing partnership, and then having a guy like Lofsen coming off the bench for either or could be huge in games where we're down and we just need that extra boost in the midfield and in the attack. And then if we're trying to shut things down, Lofsen's done pretty good defensively too.
But also, to another thing to think about, if Cuellar does come in, could easily switch to a three in the back.
That's true.
Easily.
I don't know now.
We can't now because we don't have a guy to fit to sit in front of the back three.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know now with Sava kind of doing really good in that 10 role. Maybe they'd go back to that three. But
let's see if he's still doing really good against that better opponent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? No, FC Dallas will be a bigger test. I hope Pablo comes out with the same formation and kind of the same tactic.
Their form is kind of shit, though. So we'll see.
They're,
I think they're winless in eight.
They're in a much better form than Kansas.
Sure, but I want to see him perform well in that role, like 5-6 games against a variety.
Oh, absolutely. No. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Same. So Matthew Daniels.
Oh, yeah. There was a second part of that question about who he would sell.
Yeah. Second part. Hypothetical. We have a chance to sign a DP9 who will score goals, but we have to sell one of the following. Who do you choose? Do you part with Justin Glad, Pablo Ruiz, or Jefferson Severino?
Pablo Ruiz.
Pablo.
Yeah?
Pablo.
Yeah. He's got Glad the most replaceable of Jefferson. Those three.
Yeah.
Glad is obviously like a rock, and we don't win without him this year.
Yep.
And Sava.
It's the heat, bro.
Sava's just really freaking good.
All right, let's go through these hard. Chris Nagel, what is Diego Luna's best chance to get in the lineup? With Sava playing behind Cordova and Miriam and Chang out on the wing, is he a super sub? At this point, late in the game.
Yeah, for the rest of the... I think that's what his role was going to be the entire time, right? He's still young.
Just until he's ready to play a full 90.
Yeah, I think we see him a lot with the Monarchs, and then we see him get minutes to either come in and win a game or, you know, help close one out, so...
Yeah. All right, Ruben Santos, what's up, dude? We asked for a question, not for six, so we're going to skip you today. But hi. Let's see. Kathy Barney asks, has RSL looked into signing Santi Morales? We do have a player his age with the Monarchs. Why not him, too?
I'm sure they would tell us to go kick rocks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Javi wants to continue coaching him, so.
Yeah.
But maybe once Javi comes back home.
Maybe. But I don't know, man. If you're Javi, it's like, do you want the same thing to happen to your son?
But Deloy's gone.
That makes sense. A little bit more sense, yeah.
Yeah, as long as Javi's over the doing his thing over at the Miami Academy, I don't think Santi will head over this way anytime soon.
Yeah. Osvaldo, he's just making a statement here. So Seattle in ninth place, Rusnak with one goal in 18 matches and zero assists.
So good.
And RSL in third with their captain out.
You got to remember, though, this is going to pain me. I'm going to defend Rusnak.
All right, say it quick because
it's hot. I think you're about to say the same thing that I was
it is.
He's playing deep.
There you go.
Okay. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, he's playing in more of a deep-lying playmaker role for Seattle. And we saw Joao Paulo do that a lot for Seattle. Mm-hmm. But with him being out in the ACL since the Champions League final, Rusnak has taken over that role. And, I mean, he's not doing that bad.
No, he's having a good season.
Yeah,
he's just not having the stats, which is fine.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap this up because it's, guys, I'm not kidding, it is so hot in here. It's horrible. Let's never podcast here again.
Well, until summer's over.
That's so bad, bro. It's so bad. Okay, this is the One Wire Fiber Studio, by the way. So, Adam, if you're listening, dude, AC, bro, please. I know it's not his building, but if you want to buy us a standalone AC unit, well, Adam, I would love you.
We should probably bill him first.
We will. All right. So, at MLS Collectors, Robert Kribe. He's got a few. So Herrera doesn't seem the same quality in the attack as before. Not pushing into the attack like Brody does. What's up with that? Also, how many goals does Cordova need to not be criticized by fans? How many goals does Sava end the season with? So
Sava ends with 10. Cordova needs 10. Herrera is getting up less because he doesn't have Demir there to finish off his crosses.
I completely agree. Herrera's not to say like he's in bad form, because I mean overall he's having a pretty good solid season. It's just not the same numbers as before because you don't have that aerial presence that Demir Krylak was.
Which Cordova should be.
Cordova should be, but we just haven't seen it from Cordova.
Yeah. And it's weird to see Severino get headers, essentially, before Cordova.
Yeah, but he gets free, right? Like,
yeah.
So the one thing, my biggest knock on Cordova, and you can go back and watch a lot of highlights on him, he doesn't attack the box and, like, anticipate the ball being there, right? There's many times in the last game, especially, where someone would whip a ball in and he'd be 2-3 steps behind. He can absolutely do it. He just needs to crash, right? And that's what Savo is doing, so...
Yeah. Okay, two other points. So, Brody, Trey shot this out the other day. He was just basically saying that Brody is, you know, he doesn't get as much hype as other players, but he's unappreciated, and he's, you know, he's a great athlete. So,
he's
do you guys
Ned
agree
Graham
with that?
He's got the voice syndrome, yeah. He's like, he's quietly good, right? Doesn't do anything too flashy, but he never really messes up. Like, he just does a good job. And that is easy to go, like, unnoticed, right? Because he's not, like, making waves with not making people. But no one's ever, like, mad at him. Like, they're mad at Schmidt or Holt for making just, like, egregious errors. So, yeah, I call it the Ned Grabovoi syndrome.
Very cool. Okay, well, we are going to wrap this one up, unless you guys have anything else.
No, let's get out of here.
I think that's it for me.
All right, thank you so much for making the drive out, all you guys.
Yeah,
I know it sucks. Listeners, we're sorry, but we're going to bring more... content to you Friday morning. We're going to go to training, so we'll get another round of questions. We need to get in the AC because this is crazy. Thanks for listening to the RSL Show. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at RSL Show. And remember, the pickup match is Saturday, July 30th at 9 a.m. It might be hot, so just make sure that you bring plenty of hydration and keep cool out there. All right, guys, thank you so much. We are out of here, and we appreciate you guys listening. Bye-bye.